This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma zidna ilma, wa la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana, wa hab lana min ladunka rahma, innaka antal wahhab. اللهم افتح مسامعنا لقلوب ذكرك. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we send peace and blessings on the best of his creation, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his noble family. And we ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings for this gathering, for our host family and for all those who have come to learn together the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are in Surah number 39, Surah Az-Zumar. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the hearing channels of our hearts to His remembrance and to increase us in useful knowledge, knowledge that's translated into action, an action that is full of sincerity, ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, action that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from deviating from the truth once He has shown us the truth. So Surah Az-Zumar is a Meccan surah that was revealed when the Prophet ﷺ was in Mecca before the hijrah to Medina. And some narrations say that the revelation took place around the time of the first migration to Abyssinia, and which means that the persecution of the Muslims, had gotten to a point where it had become hard for them to live in Mecca and even harder to practice Islam. So there is an ayah that we will see, inshallah, maybe today, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a permission to move to a land where you can practice your deen. So that indicates that this took place around that time it was revealed. So it's a Meccan surah, and as we know, Meccan surahs have being the focus is tawheed, to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He has revealed to us about Himself, and about the Akhirah, to make that a reality. We've learned that over and over again, so that the reality of Akhirah becomes embedded in our hearts and it's in the forefront of our minds, so that we prepare for it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the risala, which is the revelation. So the surah will start with that, that what are the words that you are listening to? What are they? Where did they come from? So Surah Zumar takes its name from, Zumar means groups. So takes its name from two groups that Allah mentions in the last part of this surah. Wasiqa allatheena كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا, that there will be people who will be taken in groups to Jahannam. And similarly, he mentions the second group, people of taqwa, إِلَىٰ الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. So this is groups of people, and we know there will be grouping on the Day of Judgment. Two big groups, as we know, people of the right, people of the left, people of Jannah, people of Jahannam. Then there are subgroups. You know, you have the VIPs, people who are the muttaqoon, the salihoon, the shuhada, special people, you know, the sa'imoon, you know, all the special categories that Allah has mentioned among the believers, who will be like the VIPs, who will be given special status. So there will be groups and subgroups, and that's where the surah takes its name. The theme of the surah, as you'll see, whatever we cover in the beginning, is now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us to action. all this time that we've been learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is to believe. Believe in Allah, believe in Allah, believe in Allah. Now, belief means you say with your tongue that you believe. And the belief is in your heart, which nobody can see. Only Allah knows. Even the munafiqun, the hypocrites, said that we believe. They recited the shahada, but there was no belief in the heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you believe, show by your actions that you believe. Now we are called to action. That if you say you are a believer, if you say you believe in Jannah and you believe on the Day of Judgment, show by your actions. Now it is time for Amal. So for almost 4 years or more, we have been talking about this Iman, 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 Makkan Surahs. Believe in Allah, believe in Allah, believe in Allah. Now it is time for us as a group to take inventory. Yes, I believe in Allah. What am I doing to show that I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? With 4 years of Quranic halaqas, what has changed in my life? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now calling us to look at our, what we call, lifestyle. Because Allah says the deen. And deen is not just religion. Deen is a way of life. In today's terminology, this is the way of life. You know, so this is my way of life. And way of life permeates not just in the acts of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I'm not just a Muslim in my five salahs, or in the month of Ramadan, or at the time of Hajj. But does the Islamic injunctions, does the awareness that Allah is watching me permeate into my life at work? In my business dealings, in the way I talk to people, in the way I treat my neighbors, in the way I treat my spouse, in the way I treat my children. In every aspect of my life, am I showing that I am a true believer? If nothing has changed, I'm still doing the same acts of disobedience that I did before, then this is 4 years of extra evidence against us. That you were reminded for 4 years and you did not leave riba. You were reminded for 4 years and you did not stop lying. You were reminded for 4 years, you didn't give this up. So now, each one, and again, the ayah will come that nobody will carry the burden of anyone else. In other words, everyone has to think about themselves. Frequently, we are in the habit of looking at others. He's not doing this. He's not doing this. My husband is not doing this. My wife is not doing this. No. What am I doing? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say in the future that nobody will carry the burden of anyone else. And we learned this also in last session in Surah Luqman. In the end of that, what did it say? That on that day, no son will benefit the father and no father will benefit the son. In other words, everyone will come with their own needs. So this is a time for us to look and see where I was 4 years ago, or whenever I started attending these halaqats, or whatever Allah gave me tawfiq. Where am I now? Is there a difference? Is there a difference that is proportionate to what I have heard? If it is, then we say Alhamdulillah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on that. And if we find that only very little change, or na'udhubillah, no change has occurred, then this is a very serious problem. Whatever acts of disobedience I was doing, I'm still doing it. And I'm justifying it by saying, when Allah gives me tawfiq. Or everybody else is doing it. That so-and-so is a good person, but he also does this. This is no excuse, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah doesn't play around. He's given you clear commandments. Allah's mercy is vast. He can forgive anything. But Allah is also shadidul iqab. He is severe in his punishment, and he has warned us about it. Over and over, we will hear ayats about khawf in this, and taqwa, protect yourself, out of that fear from that day. So keep this in mind, that this is some of the themes that will come, and there are some very, very special ayats in the surah, one of which has been considered by many scholars as the ayah of the greatest hope in the whole Quran, which will come later on. We won't cover it today. The ayah which gives, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ, O you who have transgressed all bounds and wronged yourself, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, don't despair of the mercy of Allah, even for those Allah has given chance. So that gives hope to anyone. Nobody has the excuse that I am such a great sinner that there is no hope for me. There is always hope till the soul is extracted. Okay. So some special ayats will come in the surah. So أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم إنا أنزلنا إليك الكتاب بالحق فاعبد الله مخلصا له الدين. First these two ayats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تنزيل الكتاب. تنزيل, the revelation, the coming down of al-kitab is another name for the Quran. That this book has come down min Allah, from Allah. This is not from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not from Jibreel alayhi salam. They are just the conveyors of the message. Min Allah. Who is Allah? He qualifies himself by two names here, Al-Aziz and Al-Hakim. Okay. Al-Aziz means the one that is full of izzah and full of might, the most powerful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that He is the most powerful. No matter who you think might defend you against Allah, there is no protection from Allah except with Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us seriously, this kitab, don't treat it lightly. This is from Al-Aziz. Don't treat its injunctions lightly, that, oh, you know, don't play around, don't try and find ways of going around it. This is from Al-Aziz and Al-Hakim. And Hikmah, we mentioned all, whole surah of Surah Luqman, and Hakim, the wise. Everything, Allah is the all-wise. And everything that He reveals in the Quran is wisdom. Now, what is our wisdom? Who is a wise among us? Who uses this kitab to extract as much benefit for themselves as they can and to repel as much harm as they can. Our whole Sharia has one goal, to draw benefit for human beings and to repel harm. That's the whole goal of all the Sharia. Everything that Allah has legislated is for our benefit, to benefit us and to protect us from harm. Now, if we have been given all of these formula how to do that, and if we still don't take advantage of that to protect ourselves from harm and to draw benefit, can we be called Hakim in any way? Just the opposite of Hakim. That in spite of being given everything, you're spoon-fed and you still don't want to benefit from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, introduces that this kitab is from Allah and from no one else. And even that, just if we think about, if somebody sits and reflects on this, that this, these words, Tanzil, Al-Kitab, Min, Allah, Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, these are words that Allah Almighty, who we have no idea of His majesty, He uttered these words. This is His hadith. This is His words, that He uttered these. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the people whose hearts are clean, when they hear these words, their skin quivers and their hair stand up and their hearts tremble, because this is who the words are from. So when we have hearts prepared like that, that these are Allah's words, we are attentive to every word and every commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah want from me? And am I doing it? And if I'm not, what is stopping me? And I fix that. And I come to compliance with Allah's orders today. And if I am indulging in something that Allah has forbidden or does not like, I stop from that today. What has led me to that? I stop those temptations today. So it is to change lives. This whole Quran wasn't revealed on one day. It came, and as the ayats came, the Sahaba's lives changed. They believed, and they showed their belief by whatever was necessary. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them in that those early stages. Most of the Quran had been with severe persecution. You say you believe? Now prove that you believe. They are being tortured, they are being lashed, they are being put in the burning sands of Mecca and stones on them, and they are being killed and tortured. Do you believe? Yes. Ahad, ahad, ahad. Big tests. We are not tested. We have little tests, little temptation here, little. Somebody calls you a terrorist, somebody, little things. But this is how they were tested. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sort of made them immortal in a way that we talk about the Sahaba. It's Sumayya radiallahu anha was the first one. She gave her life. The first person to die in Islam. Only for her belief. No other thing. And so on and so forth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna anzalna ilayka al-kitab. Again stressing, Inna indeed we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the plural of majesty, have revealed, have sent down, anzalna ilayka al-kitab, ilayka, to you, singular person, second person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this says, we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should read it as Allah says, I have revealed it to you, Ali Hazrat Ji, or to you, that Allah is talking to me. Bil haqq, in truth. It's not a game. There is a purpose to life, and Allah has told us there is a purpose. Allah created you not as a sport that He needed entertainment. There is a maqsad for our creation. As He tells us that He created us for His ubudiyah, for His worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there's a purpose for revelation of this book. And this book is in haqq. The book is truth. It's all truth because it is from al-haqq, the truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is confirming, and He doesn't need to confirm over and over again, that what He has sent down is the truth. There is no doubt in it. La rayba fi starts right in the beginning. Surah Baqarah. La rayba fi, in which there is no doubt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Inna anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bil haqq. What should be your response? Fa means, therefore, so, fa'abudillah. Therefore, worship Allah. That should be the response of those to whom this book is sent. Fa'abudillah. Mukhlisan. Now this ikhlas is going to come over and over again in the first 14-15 ayahs. Allah is stressing ikhlas. Ikhlas means purity. Purity of intention. That you worship Allah only for His pleasure. That there should be no other contamination in your worship. Such as what? Such as looking good in front of people. Such as looking righteous and pious. Such as looking generous, such as being called Al-Hajj, such as, you know, whatever titles, that there should be no other purpose except Allah's rida, His pleasure. Mukhlisan lahuddin, that this is what your way of life is. Everything you do, do with the awareness that Allah is watching me, I am doing for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like any contamination in the near with anything. And that ikhlas is sort of the peak of our ibadah. If there is no ikhlas, you can worship Allah for 100 years, result is zero. In fact, it's sin because it becomes shirk.